welcome to the Thanksgiving version of Words with a Wise Guy. This is our sixth podcast of the year. We do have a recurring guest now. We have Cole Davis from Friends University, back by popular demand. At least one person requested me back. That's very popular for our podcast. And then in the middle here, this is Ben Heithoff, otherwise known in the track and field world as Ben Heithoff. But Ben Heithoff, he is a regional fitness manager at Genesis, which is an interesting Wichita story. Mm-hmm. So welcome, Ben and Cole, to the podcast. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to be back.
Yes. So did you have any, good media from, reaction from the first podcast that you did? It was our first one.
I was actually surprised at how many people actually watched and kind of commented. Just being new for you and trying to see your following a little bit.
There,
but our mutual friends seem to be the ones that kind of took part in it the most. But my boss, my athletic director at work.
You didn't get fired.
I didn't get fired. Yeah. So shout out to Kurt Ryerson. but yeah, it was nice for him to say, hey, great job on the podcast. I listened to you this morning at work and that sort of stuff. So it was cool.
All right. We'll try to make him proud once again.
Absolutely.
So Ben, you work at Genesis, which I think is it's a heck of a Wichita success story. So how did you get involved with Genesis, and what is regional fitness manager? Is that anything like the assistant regional fitness manager?
Okay. it's really actually interesting. My friend Brett was actually working for Wichita State, which kind of started my connection with WSU and also yourself. And he was working with the athletic training department, and we had been best friends through college, and he was a couple grades ahead, and so he was down here in Wichita, and I was finishing up as a strength coach up in Pella, Iowa, Central College, my alma mater, and I was looking for a job, and I literally applied to over 50 gyms nationwide, and it included Genesis, and I literally typed into Google fitness, health, and Genesis popped up, and got a phone call back from them in a place in Des Moines, and it was a great opportunity for me. And at the same time, my best friend was in town. He was the only person I knew. I was like, that's awesome. I'm in. So I packed everything up and moved down. I think he knew he could get me down here because he had a two-bedroom apartment by himself for 4 months before I moved down. So I think he kind of had a plan.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Ben, you should really take this job in Wichita. It's a great place to live.
Right. It's super great. Also, I need you to pay rent.
So how long ago was that?
9.5 years ago.
In Genesis, I imagine in those 10 years has really, exploded, it seems like.
Yeah. So when I started, we had 7 clubs. We are now up to 44. So we are the fastest growing privately owned health club in the United States.
Wow, that's quite a feather in your cap. Why do you think the popularity or the success? What's the reason why Genesis has become so popular and why it continues to expand? And I know I don't see you hardly anymore because you're never in town. So is that part of the expansion? Are you dealing with other places?
So that's for my new role. So I have Springfield, Tulsa, and Wichita as my region. So we have 5 clubs in Wichita, 2 on the west side, 2 on the east side, 1 downtown, 2 in Springfield, and then 2 in Tulsa. So my traveling the last 2.5 months has been to Springfield and Tulsa, with giving some attention to the personal trainers and fitness managers there, and making sure we're taking care of our members that come in. The thing that's probably helped us as most is we're extremely service orientated and very big on just staff. We spend a lot of time there, and we kind of have to like each other if we're going to spend that much time there, and just making everyone better. So that's probably our biggest separator, I would say, is what we put into it. Invest in our members and ourselves.
So speaking of WSU, you guys are connected with Wichita State Athletics because of the tennis team, right? And so I know that they played some matches over there.
Yeah.
And you guys host some big tournaments, I know.
All the time. And they come over and practice at our facility as well. And it's pretty cool to watch them actually sometimes. I mean, we'll just walk by and there's plenty of windows to see them. And they're pretty impressive with how they go and get after it. So, but we've had a great relationship with them, and they've been coming to Genesis since I started. So it's been a long-term relationship for sure.
So would you be considered like the White Goodman?
No, I don't know who that is.
The Purple Cobras. Come on. The other gym in town.
We're not average Joes, so I'll put it that way.
Yeah, that's where Cole would go. He would be like the Vince Vaughn.
It's like that $5.99 a month gym. That's where I'm going. So
Cole would be too cheap to even spend $5.99, I feel like.
Just buy a Bowflex, put it in the garage.
No, you wouldn't even use that. It would just be to hang your clothes on.
Exactly. It's a nice hanger.
So I was thinking about how we all met each other. Mm-hmm. And so I know I met Cole at a track meet. But I was trying to remember how I met you, and it was one of two possibilities. Do you remember how we met?
Yes. You don't. What were the two possibilities yet?
One was a Halloween party, kay. And then the other was a club rodeo.
Yes. So my first.
I don't remember which one was first.
Club rodeo was first.
Okay. All right.
Because like I moved here.
And we were not dancing together.
Well,
maybe I didn't
not the close proximity to each other.
We did not ride the bull together.
Okay, good.
The first time.
Good.
So, yes, I met you and Dorf, actually, at the same time.
A.K.A. John Hetzendorf, our tennis coach. Yeah.
And, we just went out and had a few drinks.
Yeah.
It was fun.
That was a long time ago. How did you guys meet?
Was.
I don't know if I've ever.
Well, before I worked at Friends, like when I first moved to Wichita, my first job was at Genesis. So they kind of created a position for me when I started working there because I interviewed with them and they liked me and I didn't want to be a personal trainer. So I had a background in health management and recreation. So they created the youth programs coordinator position where I kind of run some day camps and had some stuff going on in the gym, and I was in control of the rock wall and went out to the pool and did some stuff. So
how long did that last?
About 3 or 4 months. Genesis was great, but it was just set up where I wanted to get back into coaching. So
yeah.
I actually sold cars for a little bit and then got the Friends job. So
you went from used car salesman to track and field coach. I mean,
correct.
It's pretty, there's some similarities in recruiting, I gotta imagine.
And I actually used that in my interview. They're like, well, you haven't been coaching for the last year. And I was like, well, I've been selling cars. So that's pretty much like trying to recruit somebody to get them to come here. So end up working out.
So speaking of jobs, if you guys had, you're all established in your careers now and you've got, you know, you've been working for a while. Did you guys have any crazy odd jobs before you've kind of settled in?
I think you've had more than I have.
Yeah, I mean, growing up in small towns, you kind of have to find some odd jobs to try to make money. I mean, I was a lifeguard for like 8 years, but in college, I worked on a sheep farm. I was building fence and dealing with llamas spitting on me. And
llama.
And I mean, I worked on Fort Riley, like moving furniture in and out of the barracks and doing a bunch of stuff like that. Weird summer jobs in college. I was a Jimmy John's delivery driver.
Weird.
Freaky fast delivery. Yeah. So.
How about you, Ben?
So I worked in a sewing and vacuum shop. So I worked as a soccer referee. Because
you were a soccer player in college.
Yeah. So I played collegially or whatever 4 years, and I reffed starting at like age 12.
Okay.
Which I don't think is legal.
You know, I did the same thing because they were looking for referees.
Yeah.
They started soccer at you know, my community, and they needed referees.
It was so great because I would go to my sister's games, and the ref just wouldn't show up. It was like you 7 or 6 or something. And they're like, hey, you play soccer, come over.
Right.
And so I started refereeing and, like, you know, I get paid a little bit. It was pretty good for being 12.
Right.
And then I worked, as soon as I hit 15, I worked at the sewing and vacuum shop. And then my mom's best friend, it was her husband at the time, was working there. His name was One Eyed Jack. He had a glass eye. I never knew which one it was,
right.
So I couldn't tell where he was looking.
You didn't know where to look.
Yeah, I definitely didn't. And at the time, I mean, I had to go and carry these giant cast iron old sewing machines from the basement to the third level, and they weighed like 100 pounds, and I was 120 pounds soaking wet. So
this
it was
part of your personal training.
Right.
This is my first personal training.
Yeah. Just deadlifting all day.
So you weren't sewing anything. Did you try to get on there and do some sewing ever?
I did no sewing, but I did build like the table sewing machines.
Oh,
that's
interesting.
Cool.
Yeah. They're a pain in the butt. They suck.
So when I was in high school, I worked for the county, Brown County in the summer. And it was an odd mix of, like, young kids just working in the summer and pretty much a bunch of old guys that...
The lifers.
Know, yeah. Awesome. And then there was, like, one guy that knew what he was doing that was in charge of everybody.
Right.
And my funniest memory is they would, like, send you out with different people when you, like, mm-hmm. are new. And so I would get in this truck one day with this old guy. He must have been 60 years old. And his job was to fill up the potholes with tar and stuff from whatever's truck is mm-hmm. in. So I'm, and he hardly ever talked. He was just this old, he was like Boomhauer from King of the Hill. He was one of those guys. And you couldn't really understand what he said when he was talking. So we're driving around Brown County looking for potholes.
Brown
County. And
you literally just search for potholes.
Yeah, that's all you do. You maybe get a call, but this was pre-internet. Like, you know, there's this is 1992 or something.
Domino's does that now.
Yeah, exactly. I know. So
those commercials.
Good idea. And so we're driving around. We do that for a couple hours. And then no conversation. He just pulls into a parking area, puts his hat down, and just goes to sleep in the truck.
With
and
you so in there.
With me in there sitting shotgun. And I have, you know, there's no phone. You can't do anything. Like, right. You're just sitting in a truck with a guy that just goes to sleep in the middle of the day. Yeah.
And okay, so, I guess it's nap time.
So I stood there and sat there and looked out the window for half an hour, and he got up and just drove right off.
This is before internet. So right. You had nothing to do but just stare.
There wasn't a newspaper. I had nothing. I didn't want to wake him up. Like, you know, what am I going to do? Yeah.
That's crazy.
So anyways. Well, speaking of current jobs, Wichita State had a pretty big weekend. And I know Friends has had some exciting things going on recently in track and cross country. But we had an All-American in cross country for the first time in several years. There's Winnie Koskaj, who was 35th in the NCAA meet as a sophomore. She was the number four athlete if you take out juniors and seniors. So she really had a heck of a exciting NCAA meet that I think deserves some recognition. She's improved dramatically in the past couple years. As a when she came 2 years ago, she had to redshirt because she was injured, because she wasn't good enough to make our conference team. And last year she got a lot better, and this year she's exploded to one of the best runners in the country. I know you guys have had. You know, you guys got some people at the national cross country meet. Is that this mm-hmm. weekend, or was that last
week? It was last weekend.
And how did that go?
It went well. We had three athletes qualify. We had some athletes run lifetime PRs as seniors at their last meet ever, so that's always exciting for them. So it's just one of those meets when you get to the national meet. If you don't get out, you're going to struggle to kind of run through a pack, because I think they said the guys' race had 330 athletes in it or something like that. So it's, you have to force yourself to run faster than you're used to, and you're just going to kind of run with the pack at that level and things like that. So you just can't get stuck in the back.
Well, that happened to Winnie. So I don't know if there's any pictures of her race, but it was snowing in Wisconsin for her race, and she didn't get out very well. And Coach Hunter said she just passed people the whole time, and she was way, way back early, and then she top 40 get All-American in Division One, and so she was fighting to get up to the top 40 the whole time, and he thought she'd even be a lot higher if she was, you know, had gotten out. But it's basically like you're saying, it's hundreds of people for at least a quarter of a mile going as hard as they can to try to get to the front, because if you're 175th at that point, there's no way, you know, you're out of it. So yeah, there's Winnie right there. There's some pictures for those of you watching, and so she's awesome. She's only a sophomore. Her as an All-American is a heck of an accomplishment. Jeez. So that looks like a nice day right there. But except they do have winter coats on.
Right.
But it was the course.
It's cross-country weather.
There's some snow you can kind of see. They had to put flags up. Usually they have lines around the course, but they had to put flags up so you could see where to run in between, because it was.
You know, it's really cold when the people from Colorado are making faces. You go back like two pictures, just look at the Colorado person's face. Right there, look at that.
Yes, she's hurt.
You know it's awful.
And I mean, they won the national title, they were used to the cold. That's right.
Winnie's from Kenya.
So she's...
It's not exactly her...
The Colorado girl's wearing sleeves, and she's fine.
I know.
Toughness at Wichita State. Yeah.
Watch out for Winnie. She might challenge...
So how many more years does she have with you guys?
Two. So she's only a sophomore, so she's got three track seasons and two cross-country seasons.
It's awesome.
We're really excited for her future. Also, we had a former Shocker, Kellen Taylor, used to be Kellen Johnson when she was here. She had a crazy weekend. So last weekend, she was scheduled to run a half marathon in California. And, you know, they had all the wildfires that are crazy out there. And so they canceled this race on a Sunday they were going to have in California. So she's one of the best distance runners in America right now. Awesome. And so she hops on a plane, flies to Las Vegas, and that day wins the Las Vegas Rock and Roll Marathon, half marathon, and a new personal best.
That's
awesome.
There's
count. I think on her Instagram there, it talks about her little story. But, mm-hmm. it was kind of crazy, but good for her adjusting to the situation. So
wow.
Studley runner, super 1:10 cool. in the half marathon. So, yeah, she's one of the best. Got a shot to make the Olympic team in the marathon
really?
Here in a couple of years. Yeah, for sure.
Man.
So talking about our current jobs, and I don't know how this relates to you, but it might because I think of job turnover, but recruiting is a big thing right now. The signing period just started for all the sports. And so how's recruiting going? We can't talk specifically on here about recruits mm-hmm. because of rules and different things
right.
like that. So how's recruiting going for you? I know we've had ups and downs in recruiting. It's always a challenging thing at this mm-hmm. time of the year. So how's Friends Track and Field, the future of Friends Track and Field going and recruiting?
I mean, I feel as a track coach, the recruiting part is the most exciting part of the job, but it's also like a soap opera with all the ups and downs and stuff as we go throughout the year. But right now we've got quite a few commitments, and it's exciting to think about, okay, where's the future of the program headed? But I'm also sitting there thinking, okay, we need to go sign 25 more so I don't get fired. And so we're always working to kind of find that next big commit. But we also struggle with, there's so many divisions and so many schools in Kansas, and we do a lot of local recruiting. So every kid we're chasing's got 15 junior colleges talking to them, and 15 NAIA schools, and 5 or 6 Division IIs, and maybe 1 or 2 Division Is. And so trying to find that real commit, as we've kind of talked a little bit about, is you bring them on a visit and you get excited about who they are and talk about our program, and they're excited about possibly being a Falcon, but when they step foot on another campus, they get excited about that school too. So it's that constant battle of trying to find a kid that's ready to truly commit, because we've had some issues with the word commitment, I guess, here in the last month or so.
Well, in college athletics, and I think football is probably the most guilty, but other sports this happens to, I think, because of football, they say they commit to a school or either verbally commit, but it does not mean commit. What's the textbook or the Webster's Dictionary of commitment, Kurt?
Yeah, what
I
you
think
got?
That would might be something to...
I think I'm going to send this to all my recruits.
Because what happens is basically a verbal commitment to most kids just means, well, that's the school it's in first place right now.
Correct.
In terms of there it is. The state or qualified by being dedicated to a cause or activity, an engagement or obligation that restricts freedom of action. So to me, that means when you've committed to a school,
that's where you're going.
That's where you're going. And
end
I know
of discussion.
For me, if someone tells me they've committed, like yesterday I got this phone call, it was a kid I was excited to recruit, and it was down to us and one other school, and he chose the other school. And he called me and let me know. And as soon as he told me he committed, I won't call that kid anymore. To me, that's how we are.
Right.
So that word commitment to me means something as a coach different than it means to the kids, mm-hmm. because there are coaches that doesn't mean anything to
right.
when you're talking, you know, when they're, oh, you're committed, you haven't signed yet. Well, you know, you can still do this or, you know, we'll still talk to you. But
it's gray
area. That's a gray area. But for the kids, I think when they, and we had a kid verbally commit to us that now is not verbally committed to mm-hmm. us, that's now neutral again, that's got no commitment.
So he decommitted.
Right. It was actually a girl. And she decommitted, but her response was, well, I just thought that, you know, it was a verbal commitment. That didn't mean anything. Like, that was literally what she said.
Huh.
And it wasn't one of my recruits, but this happens almost every year. And I think in football, that would drive me crazy.
Right.
Because it happens all the time until they sign. Do you deal with that much?
I had almost the exact same situation happen this year, where you've probably had it when they come on a visit and some kids commit to you right there on the visit when they're sitting in your office. Mm-hmm. But that's, as we know, isn't official until they sign your letter of intent. But we had a girl had an awesome visit. We were sitting there having lunch and her mom goes, hey, I think she has something to say to you. And I'm like, what's going on? She's like, I want to be a Falcon next year. I'm so excited. And I'm like, great. Let's start moving forward in the paperwork. And like you said, I stop really calling every 4 days after I hear that. But then two or three weeks later, I'm like, hey, are your transcripts in? Can we start getting your letter of intent ready? And she goes, oh, I thought a verbal commit just meant I was like interested. Like, I didn't know.
Yeah.
I'm still looking at other schools. And I'm like, okay. And then 2 days later, she sends me a message. Hey, I'm not coming to Friends. And I was like, do you know where you're going? No. Mm-hmm. She just freaked out. Didn't really even know what she meant when she committed. I think she was just excited to tell a coach she was interested.
And I don't blame the kids for that necessarily, right, because that's like the culture of high school, you know, recruiting. And I think, though, that the word commitment, that has to be explained to them. When you say you're committed, like, that's where you're going.
Right.
I think. Because, like I said, we stop recruiting kids, you know, that have committed to other places. But
but not all coaches do that, though.
No.
Right.
No, not at all.
It's a tough thing.
You know, the world of – I don't know if you deal with things like this, but in college athletics, you know, there's these gray areas of – you know, football and basketball, there's some probably obviously dirty, illegal things that go on. Obviously, it's in the news if you're watching college basketball. In track, we don't get as much, but there's still things that are kind of unethical, like when a school puts pressure on kids. We've had that recently where the signing day came up. For those of you who don't know, in Division One, the signing day started in the second week of November. So you can sign then or any time after. So you can used to be 1 week, and then you'd have to wait months before you could sign again. But now it's just start in November, go anytime you want. And we had kids that were coming on visits all around that date, and then schools would say, well, you got to decide by this day. And it would be basically like, well, you can go on that visit, but if you do, our scholarship's not there anymore, which was totally not true,
right?
Because most of the time it would still be there. But so you get those kind of coaches from other schools that pressure kids, which I hate. We don't ever put that kind of pressure on a kid, because I would hate for a kid to come to Wichita State and not really have decided that's where they want to go. I'd rather them go somewhere
and
they want
to check
it
out and make sure it's a good fit.
Because there's lots of other recruits that fit us better than a kid that you force to go there. You know what I mean?
And I think we go through the same situation, and parents often look at me odd because they'll be in my office and I'll be like, hey, where else are you interested in? And they're like, oh, these two. So I'm like, yeah, go on visits. Like, check it out. You never know which program is going to be the best for you. And they're like, why are you telling us to visit other places? I'm like, I'm not going to force you to make a decision. We want you to come to our school just as bad as you want to come. And we want that to be a mutual decision between the two.
And I think you guys have had this success. And we have, where there's not a lot of our kids transfer. There's a lot of schools where kids transfer left and right.
Right.
And I think one of the reasons we don't is because we don't pressure kids to decide for Wichita State, where like a lot of schools do. And then they get there and they're like, well, this isn't really what I thought it was going to be. And, you know, I'm going to look into those things to transfer. So what about, like, is that in the hiring process? Or
Yeah. It's funny, but it's very similar to actually what both of you are saying. The difference would be we're always recruiting. Yeah. You guys have, like, a recruiting period.
Well, we're always recruiting. Yeah. We can only sign
there's
up during
a signing
certain
period.
Times.
Gotcha. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
So, and we always feel like, you know, if we find someone that's good, they're a good fit. But we like to take our time with deciding, because it's like, if we decide, it's going to take a lot of time and work and effort on our end to develop them.
And same, it's like us developing athletes,
You know? So you don't ever want to have someone that's not, like what you guys said, committed or fully into it.
There's got to be tons of turnover in your job.
Typically, in the personal training industry, there is. The nice thing I would say about, like, my region, we haven't had a ton of turnover. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that has to do with the kind of people we have, you know. So
that's good. That's always, I mean, that's got to be the, you know, for us, we haven't had turnover at Wichita State, and that's one thing that I think helps us have stability.
Yeah.
And that's got to be a frustrating thing at jobs where somebody, you know, so you got, in your interviewing process, you got to make sure that they're kind of committed.
Once again.
Staying there for a period of time, I guess.
Yeah,
you guys keep them for a certain amount of, like, you say, hey, you need to commit for a year or 2 years.
Two years. Minimum.
Minimum 2 years.
Otherwise, it's not worth it.
So they sign a contract for the 2 years.
They don't sign a contract, but I won't hire them.
It's a verbal commitment.
Yes. It's a gray area.
Right.
So which means they could do anything they want. Yeah,
of course. And we'll get people that sometimes people think, like, personal training is like, well, it's like a side job, or I'll do it for like 6 months. And I'm like, no, we don't do that.
Right.
Like, you're a trainer, that's your career.
It's lifestyle.
It is.
Right.
It is.
Do you ever add 2 pounds to the scale?
Just like 5.
White Goodman.
Five.
Right. 5 pounds. Okay.
I joked with him I had a 10 before I came here. Right.
Whenever you're going, you have to crank it up a notch.
Yeah, exactly.
So speaking of college football and college athletics, so Central Florida, this is, I don't know if I'm going to rant here, but Central Florida is in our conference.
Please do.
In the American Conference now. And they just had College Game Day. So they are ranked high. They play Cincinnati was also ranked, so they had a College Game Day, came to them. And I think they were trying to promote them as a team that, hey, look at this team as a chance for the playoffs, because they went undefeated last year. They beat Auburn in the what bowl? One of the New
Cactus Year's. Pineapple Bowl.
I think
something.
It was something bigger than like a peach, maybe, or something.
A peach,
like
okay.
Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, would have been a good bowl to go to.
Right, on a Sunday.
Free Chick-fil-A sounds great.
Yeah, that would have been a great gift. So they go undefeated. Now they're still undefeated. They haven't lost a game since 2 years ago.
Right.
And they're not even close to the top four to be in the playoffs. I mean, how many years in a row do they have to go undefeated before they get considered to be in the playoffs?
I feel like they're the next Boise State little bit.
Yeah.
When you look at whatever it was when they went and beat Oklahoma in the bowl game and they did the trick play and they'd gone undefeated in, what is it, the WAC or whatever they'd been in forever?
The Mountain West. Yeah.
But it's like they weren't going to get love. They weren't going to go to the national title game that year, but
it's
they go
like
and beat Oklahoma, who's now one of the – You look at them as one of the best teams in the country every year.
UCF beat Auburn last year, who if they would have won the SEC playoff game, they would have been in the Final Four or whatever, and they beat the team that was playing for that.
It's really with the rankings. It's not necessarily what you've done this year. It's a collective, you know, process of what have you done in the previous 2 years, 3 years as
so well. So next year, if they've gone undefeated for 2 years in a row, do they get some, like, how long do they have to go?
I would say so. But
I mean, I know in basketball, they look at the strength of schedule a lot. And, like, they look at the SEC, and I see all these things about who they play when they're not playing SEC games, and it's all these Florida, Alabama, A&M, and all this stuff where they're beating them by 80 points. And it's like, but none of these SEC or Big 12 schools are going to schedule Central Florida in one of those first games of the year because they don't want to go lose to
them.
In our conference, because I know
it's like
about
Wichita State
now.
Went through that basketball-wise. That's why you guys move conferences.
So. And now in football, so you got the Power 5 conferences, and our conference is considered the sixth, maybe seventh. It's somewhere right after that. So it's not like it's number 25 in the list. It's the next conference, and they can't get any love that way. I think that's crazy, but there is – on College Game Day, they had the Stare Kid. Have you seen the UCF Stare Kid? Check out this guy. Look at that. He does this every game. The cameraman finds him, and he just stares.
That is awesome.
Like, kind of looks like Kurt.
If he's like Kurt when he was 12.
Right.
Yeah, and it's kind of like haunting.
A little bit.
You know? So they had him on the interview.
He just doesn't move.
I love how everyone else is cheering. He's just.
If you're not seeing this because you're listening, just Google. Oh,
they caught him there.
Google UCF Stare Kid. Yeah, that's crazy. So I know that Cole is a big KU fan.
I'm going to say a Stare Kid
change.
Fan.
Yes. So I don't know if you know that Cole actually plays on the KU basketball team.
I do.
That's an inside joke. Whenever
I
watch
like to
him
use
talk
we.
About KU basketball, he talks about we, like as in he's on the team.
Right.
But are you
too
on
many
the
turnovers.
Yeah, exactly. We need to throw it inside.
Correct.
Are you on the KU football team? And if so, how do you feel about Les Miles being hired?
I've taken a couple years off from the KU football team since 2008. I don't think I've been a fan.
So you last played for Mark Mangino?
I did. Keep sawing wood. Follow him on Twitter.
Awesome.
But I'm excited about the Les Miles hire. It's been interesting because I've tried to read up on it a little bit because, I mean, the guy wins a national title and is coaching at LSU and loses a game or two and gets fired and hasn't had a job for 2 years. So I'm like, how does this guy not have a coaching job right now? He has to have a ton of interest. But
so why didn't he have a coaching job? What
I don't know.
Do you think maybe something mentally is wrong with him? Did you see his interview?
He was a little, and it looks like he's got some Just for Men gel going on. He looks like he's about 10 years younger than he was 10 years ago. But I'm a little concerned just with the Charlie Weiss hire. They went after a big name. It went totally down the drain. They go after him, which he had a lot of success at LSU, which is SEC school. And it's like coming into Kansas, he's really going to have to build a program. And that's kind of where you wonder where he says the right things right now because he's been in the spotlight nationally for a long time. So,
in KU football, is it more about the coach or the program? Because they've had these other guys come in, and no one has had success really since
right.
Mangino. Is it more the problem on the culture of the program, or is one coach going to come and solve all that?
I think a coach can solve it at this point, but it's going to take a couple years. And I think there was glimpses of some positive things happen this year with David Beatty, but with him, you just wonder. I've seen articles now where like, hey, KU needed to hire some new innovative coach that could come in and build a program, and it's, hey, they went with the old school guy that's an SEC guy who's going to do all the same things that some of these other coaches are doing. So,
well, they got to, I'm assuming, be hoping that recruiting, that he's just going to get the recruits. But what I KU is an awesome school. It's cool, but is compared to LSU, will they be able to get the same type of recruits to come to KU play football? You know, they get them to play basketball.
Right.
But maybe they don't have the same.
But why couldn't they get them for football, I guess?
That's what I'm. They haven't gotten them. And so the whether
it's
Charlie
the coach.
Weiss or whatever.
Right.
So. I mean, Friends didn't get the recruits that they had until you got there.
I wouldn't say that.
How many national champions did they have before you showed up?
One.
And now how many do they have?
This isn't about me, Ben.
I'm just saying.
This is about Les Miles.
Usually the coach. Yes,
right. I would. Yeah. It's significant. It can be significant. Yeah, sure. Wichita State had some great teams before Steve Rainbolt came here. And then, but since Steve Rainbolt, it's been significantly different.
Right.
You know, there were some awesome guys in the 70s individually. Mm-hmm. Just like I know KU had great individual guys with the NFL. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As a team, they, you know, the same thing here. And then Coach Rainbolt came, and it's been championship after championship, you know. So
they can only go as far as the coach can take them.
Yeah, they have to have a vision for how to do that and be successful. So,
which I think it'll be interesting to see if there's a shift. And I think we talked about this a little bit the other day. Of Kansas State has been known for getting all of the Kansas recruits when it comes to the two schools. Like, they were the ones, hey, we're going to get all the preferred Kansas walk-ons. We're going to build up those kids. But I feel like there's some turmoil going on with how old Snyder's getting, and they're not getting the younger, hip recruits anymore. And it's like maybe more of those Kansas kids are going to start shifting towards that, because Miles talked about, hey, we got to hit Kansas hard first for those hardworking kids and blah, 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 blah. But then we'll go to Louisiana and Texas and get some of those skill players. And that was kind of a knock on Kansas kids that I didn't like very much.
Not very talented.
Exactly. Yeah. But
which is weird, because Kansas has actually had a lot of – like NFL caliber athletes in the state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
More so than I mean, I'm from Iowa originally, and I was really surprised to learn, just like in Wichita, mm-hmm. how many kids go and play at Oklahoma State or like, mm-hmm. you know, Tennessee, big universities in Texas, and then go pro.
You see the same thing in track, because it's just such a small population. You think there's just not that much to draw from.
Yeah.
But there's been great track and field athletes. Mm-hmm. Like some of the greatest track and field athletes in the United States have come from Kansas, and that's, I know for both of our programs, that's the backbone of our programs is Kansas kids.
Right.
So, yeah. So did you guys watch the Chiefs Rams game on Monday night? It was NFL record. First time ever that both teams scored 50 points.
Right? Yeah.
But I don't want to talk about the game as much as I saw a video of Andy Reid when he was 13 years old. So there he is.
He
so
looks
this was the
taller than he does now.
Yes.
So I thought this was a joke, and I thought that was the pro player with the kids, like showing them how to do it.
The funny thing is, that's in Los Angeles, California, and he was with the Rams. So like he must have been a Rams fan or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And this is the NFL pass, punt, and kick contest they still have. So you see all these guys. These are 13-year-old, and Andy's 13. And he does look almost the same as he does now.
Right.
13 years old. And it reminds me of when you did the shot put at Friends University. So we had Ben on a bet compete in a track meet at Friends University. And we don't have a picture of this. That was probably not fit for viewing. But he was throwing shot put against legitimate college shot putters.
Yes.
And you were not as big as you are now. You bulked up a little since.
I have. It motivated me.
But you did not get last place in that competition.
Which is amazing.
And you never threw
a
shot put.
I think he beat a Wichita State athlete.
I think he did.
You want to recruit me?
I don't think so.
I've never felt like a smaller human being until I'm in line with 300-pound guys who make the shot put look like a marble, and it looks like a bowling ball when I'm holding it. So
it's like Andre the Giant with one of those beer cans. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah.
okay, so the holidays are coming up. we're taping this on Wednesday, so Thanksgiving is coming up. You know, I'm not from here. You're not from here. You're kind of from here. What do you do for Thanksgiving? Do you guys do something with family, friends? How do you do that?
I know Ben's more the family guy, so he'll probably be heading up to Iowa. But my family's spread out all over the place, and we don't get together too often. It might be either one or the other. We usually come by for Thanksgiving, or we all try to get together for Christmas every other year or something like that. So this year, I'm actually going with the Friendsgiving route. I'm just staying in Wichita.
Can I come?
I've invited John Wise. I think he's coming over. So
my closest family member's 1,000 miles.
Exactly. So we're just going to get 7 or 8 friends together and hang out and just enjoy some company. So,
what do you think,
Ben?
You get back to Iowa?
Yeah. So we're headed out later tonight, and then we need to rest up because we have a 5K to run tomorrow.
Ooh. Oh, you're one of those families.
We are that family.
One of my biggest fears.
Well, that's a tradition. I imagine Kurt. He might. Kurt, are you running?
Are you a turkey trot guy?
5K, yes. Say grace. Yep.
Say grace. 5K.
Threshold, and then go eat.
How did the how did the Thanksgiving 5K start? Did you know that anything about that, Kurt?
I don't know. It's got to be like the whole guilt of 3,000 calories and yeah, cut that down.
So I have my athletes the day after Thanksgiving do a hard workout, and I say, awesome. Do all you want on Thursday. On
right.
Friday, it's time to hit hills.
There we go.
Yeah.
So, is that your way to
so
like
then they're thinking about it.
Second plate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, right. I say you run it off the next day.
True.
So what I have found with running the 5K before you eat, I can actually now eat 3 plates of Thanksgiving food now with running the 5K.
Impressive.
I know.
It's a new PR.
I think you should go for 4 this year.
Right.
So we also, this is random, but we try and get in the paper every year. So we'll go out sprinting to start to try to
just
be
try to be in that photo in the front.
We've been in the newspaper, I think, twice now. So it's like a challenge.
Through the years.
Yeah.
In the newspaper. You get like a little collage.
And this is really random, but it's actually hosted by the YMCA.
Okay.
Yeah. So you wear your Genesis shirt every time you do it.
Every time.
I think your whole family should dress up like Globo Gym.
That would be awesome. That'd be pretty good.
For like the YMCA 5K.
The Heath Hoffs.
The Heath Hoffs. So I think of when we get to this time of the year, the weather gets a little bit colder. When I was growing up, I lived on a farm and people would hunt on our farm. And I'm not a hunter, but I know a lot of people hunt. Coach Wilson, he's probably hunting right now, our pole vault coach. He's probably not coming to the office today. But are you guys hunters? Do you guys hunt at this time of the year? What do you guys do?
I mean, I have hunted before, like literally one time.
One time you went hunting? I've never been hunting.
Ben's the guy that like somebody invited him to go hunting, and he went out and bought like $400 in camouflage to go hunting one time. He's that guy. He's got the bright orange hat, right?
Yeah, it was one hat and maybe some boots.
There you go. Exactly.
I felt very prepared.
Exactly.
Did you shoot anything?
I did.
What were you hunting?
Pheasant.
Pheasant.
It was actually really cool.
Yeah.
I don't think I would
Why do
well.
Why did you do it again?
Just schedule-wise.
Okay.
We were out of town. But I got invited by Rodney, my boss. And
so he had to go.
Yeah. I had no choice.
Right.
And we went out in western Kansas. And, I mean, it's cool when you actually are active in, like, walking the field. And, like, you kind of feed off everyone's energy. Like, a guy shoots one and grabs it. You got to wring their neck quick. So it's kind of, I mean, for me, I just watched what they did and I tried to do it. Like, it was I don't know, pretty nutty, and it was actually a lot of fun. But I don't think I would do as well with, like, deer hunting. Like, you just got to sit there and be quiet.
It's hard
that.
For you to sit
yeah.
still.
Too much energy.
Have you been hunting, Cole?
I have not, and that is a choice. It's not that I have anything against it.
Right.
I don't.
Other things you're interested in.
I mean, I don't want to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and sit in the dark and wait for a giant animal to come walking around.
I mean, you could go get at Dylan's.
That's the thing is, like, I understand it if you're doing it the right way and it's a sport to you and you're going to clean it and you're going to mount it and you're going to eat it and you're going to do all that kind of stuff. But it just seems like a lot of work where I could just go to the store and buy a couple pounds of beef and get some beef jerky.
I'm glad there's people that hunt. And I like that, you know, the thing of, you know, hunting and eating what you kill. Mm-hmm. I think that's cool. But yeah, I've just never been into it. I would rather play basketball like when I was a kid. It was not something. I would fish. I think probably everybody goes fishing a little bit,
right?
And that's kind of hunting, I guess. That's kind of like introduction to hunting.
If you looked up the definition of hunting,
yeah,
I think that would qualify.
Yeah. So what would be like the craziest thing to hunt? You know, like if you were like if you you know, people hunt deer or people go fishing. Like, if you were to do some exotic hunting, like bear, would that be like the?
I mean, I think anything that you would be scared that it could kill you during the hunting process.
Like if you miss the shot,
and it's just gonna look at you, just gonna start coming. It's like you better not miss situation.
Because I've heard bears can run really fast.
Right. Like, didn't you see the Revenant?
yeah.
Poor Leo. But
he hid inside a bear, didn't he?
He did.
Or a horse or something.
Yeah, it was like a dead horse or something. Huh? What?
Yeah, he was in, he hid inside. It was true. Wasn't that a true story?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you see, I mean, it's even gotten up to Trump, I think, in different ways of the people doing, like, the big, big game, exotic animal hunting, like how there's so many activists that are so angry about that when you're shooting giraffes and rhinos and stuff like that. Like, I don't agree with any of that kind of stuff, like the endangered species. And there's only 80 of these left, but let's go kill one.
So that's a whole topic that's, I think, that's way more involved than I even know. So I'm not sure about giving my opinion about that, because I know some people over there, their economy depends on, like,
ivory or something like that. Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's jobs of guides and things like that, you know? So.
And it's interesting. So we, you know, we have a member at our gym that does go big game hunting. And the preparation, the time it takes to actually do it is crazy. So he went to Alaska, and they have an open season for it where they can hunt the Kodiak bears. These things are massive. So he showed us a picture, and it's the head of the bear sitting in his lap, and it takes up his whole chest. So I, you know, you mentioned the Revenant, and I'm like, that seems accurate, I feel like. Like, it was just crazy how big it was. But so as far as whether it's right or wrong, I mean, I think that's something that that culture there decides. And I would agree, like, endangering animals, that's obviously not smart.
So I watched The Hostel recently. That was one of the movies I'll mention later. But they're kind of like human hunting in The Hostel. It's, I mean, it's kind of hunting. They the other people hunt the people for them. And then and the, if you ever seen The Hostel, it's a, you know, horror movie that's real graphic. But you basically pay money to kill another person.
Right.
Like, that would be probably, I wouldn't say the ultimate is the right word, but that would be the most insane, if that's actually a thing. Because in that movie, I heard that the reason they came up with that idea was the director saw a website where they were advertising this. And he didn't know if it was real or not.
Right.
It was like an Asian website. And and so, but he came with the idea from searching this website, and then he couldn't find the website anymore. Like, after he
probably got shut down.
And so, but yeah. So my question is, if we were all hunting each other, since we know each other pretty well, where would you hide to keep from somebody that you know really well?
Oh, I would probably go to the gym. Nobody would look for me there.
I would probably go to the movie theater to a romantic comedy.
Little rom-com. Right. A big blockbuster movie, like Transformers 7's coming out. Like, you're not going to see Weiser.
I would probably just hang out at 5K races.
Yeah, I'm not going to that.
Right.
But. Oh, man. So, yeah, so as we're talking about holidays and Thanksgiving and then Christmas, you know, are you guys into the, like, big Christmases? Do you buy presents for everybody? Do you, does your team do that? Like, what's the spirit of the holidays for you guys? I'm, my family lives so far away that me and my family go to Florida. We see my mom and we hang out. And to me, that's awesome, because I don't want to spend $1,000 on stuff that I don't know that people want or not. And I don't want people to buy that for me.
Sure.
Do you guys still do the waking up in the morning with 100 Christmas presents around the tree and that kind of stuff at Christmas?
Yep.
You're one of those.
It's kind of funny. I went. I hate shopping. It's like my least favorite thing of all time to do, no matter if it's for me or someone else. So I literally went out and got all my family's shopping done in about 40 minutes. So
from one store.
One store. Legitimately, everyone's very excited probably to get the same jacket.
Hey, you guys can wear it at the 5K.
Exactly. So, yes, we do that, and it's always been something we've done.
So since it's Christmas and I'm not a big gift giver, I did bring some presents for you guys. Now, I gave Cole his present already.
Yeah.
It was his birthday last week, and we're all big fans of The Room. You've seen this guy right here. This is Tommy Wiseau from The Room. So The Room is this awful movie that we love.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the Tommy Wiseau bobblehead. And it actually speaks. So I don't know if you can hear it here, but should we zoom in on Tommy Wiseau?
Yeah,
there you go. So he also talks.
Oh, hi, Dave.
Danny.
Oh, Danny. I'm fed up with this one.
I think it was one more.
Very true.
Right.
Very true.
That's the shirt that I got Cole said we were tearing me apart. So I also, I bought some stuff from Tommy Wiseau. He has a company called Street Fashions. It's, I think, in
Street
San Francisco.
Fashion.
I think he made money. I think
out of the trunk of his car, probably.
But so in the summer, I ordered some stuff, including this. I think in about July, and I just got it on your birthday, which was what day?
November 16th.
November 16th. That's how long it took to get it. And he also sent me this picture, autographed picture, which is not to me.
To Fito.
Love is blind. Love Tommy Wiseau. He dated it. Look at that.
What did he date it? So like
11, like it was the date, you know, that it
so
came. I think.
That's awesome.
Right?
So
it's like he shipped it to you.
The picture
in November
doesn't look like him.
And on the back,
it does, yeah.
On the back, he sells underwear. So you can see as an order form for Tommy Wiseau underwear. And
5% elastic.
And I decided I was going to get Ben some underwear. So here is the
it's
Tommy
a great
Wiseau
gift between friends.
Underwear.
Yes.
I got
what size?
Mediums. So I'm not
mediums.
Sure how those will fit.
Just mediums.
I think they're all the same size.
That sounds
right.
About right.
So Merry Christmas.
Thank
to you.
You,
Ben.
Good wrapping job.
It's
a Ziploc bag.
A friend has ever given me.
And to our man Kurt Ryerson, who's been such a great guy to have let us come here. I got the Blu-ray
Ooh.
Of The Room for Kurt Ryerson.
4K so. Ultra HD, so you can...
Can you really trust anyone? So, yeah.
Is that
that's
rhetorical?
Great.
That's all for you.
Huh?
Is that a rhetorical question?
I think it is.
And these are elastic, so I can wear these for my race.
Yes, you,
that's
I
true.
Think you should. Absolutely. And maybe
you could wear those at work.
Put a Tommy Wiseau wig on.
And Ooh,
there you go. It's a good costume.
Yeah. Okay, so... So let's talk about movies real quick, and then we'll finish up with one last question. so you guys know I watch these crazy movies, and I see them all the time because
yes.
you guys
you,
follow me.
You make us watch them.
Yes, I do. I'm actually
Hollywood.
Hollywood. You could look that up. We won't talk about that. But the last five movies I saw, Hoosiers. So
Hickory.
Basketball movie from Indiana. Have you guys both seen Hoosiers?
Mm-hmm. Great movie.
Great movie. I've been to the gym that they shot their home games in.
Really?
So the Hoosiers gym, it's in Indiana. It's a little high school.
It's awesome.
So I decided to go there because I was driving near that area one time. And it looks exact. They basically kept it the way the movie is.
Huh.
And they had an open gym going on. I walked in there and there was guys playing open gym.
Did you
it's
play?
Awesome.
I didn't. I did shoot a shot. Nice. I was like, I got to shoot a shot. But they had the old, you know, clock with the goes around like
that. Right.
And they've kept it, and I think they play games there. I think it's like a.
So I was wondering, do they is like a high school still
yeah.
play there?
I think a middle school plays
middle
there
school.
Now, but awesome. It used to be a high school. So, you guys recommend Hoosiers?
Absolutely,
that's great.
Yeah.
So I grew up watching like sport movies. It was like what our dad would do with us, and Pistol Pete was one of my all-time favorites.
The Maravich.
That's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Great
yeah,
movie.
The Pistol Pete story.
That mm-hmm. and Hoosiers were.
Yeah, that's
watch those a lot.
Hoosiers, and then. I think what other great basketball? Well, Hoop Dreams I saw
Hoop
recently.
Dreams.
That's in terms of a real life thing. Well, Hoosiers
yeah.
is based on a real story,
right?
So mm-hmm. that's kind of it was, you know, Hollywooded up.
And wasn't the effect. Team they beat Butler in the championship?
No, that's
game?
Where they played. They played in the Butler University.
Right,
that, that's what it was.
Yeah,
okay.
And so but they played one of the big high schools in Indiana. Yeah, so so Hostel. I saw Hostel, and I wanted to bring up. We were talking about. Kind of human hunting. Obviously, Hunting or Hostel is mm-hmm. this movie where these backpackers get in Europe and they get in obviously a bad way and they get into the situation where they're getting murdered basically
right.
by people for sport. And so I know you have an interest in this because of a book.
Right.
Right. What was that book?
And it was back when I took a class called Short Stories when I was in high school and it was like a I don't know. I really liked the teacher, and it was an easy credit, I thought. But we had to read like 40 different short stories throughout the year and write a little paragraph about them. And one of them was called The Most Dangerous Game. And it turned it into a bigger book at the time, but it was about a guy that gets shipwrecked on an island, and he's there, and he finds out he's basically being big game hunted, and that's why he's on the island. He just kind of woke up there. So it's kind of the process of a human that got sick of hunting animals and wanted the most dangerous game to hunt. So he ends up having somebody shipwrecked on an island and hunts him. So
did they make a movie of that?
I don't know if there is a movie. There might be. I know it's the book or short story called A Most Dangerous Game. So. Yeah.
I feel like those guys are probably furiously Googling the most important thing right now.
But when I was reading it, I was like, wow, like I've never thought about this. It was an interesting story to captivate a 16, 17-year-old.
Some people have too much money.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is
also kind of, when I hear that, I think of like that new show, The Purge.
Yes.
And the movies that came out. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a similar concept.
Yes.
Right.
I've watched an episode, too. It's kind of...
So there's The Most Dangerous Game. I'm not sure that's the same concept, but the way that...
Does that guy have a monocle?
Designed. That looked more like a rom-com. Awesome. That looks more like it.
I think he's Monopoly, The Most Dangerous Game of the monocle.
Right. That is a dangerous game.
Got to throw
Family
the board everywhere.
Family feuds for life happened from that game.
Okay, next movie is Hot Fuzz. So this is a British comedy with Simon Pegg, which I think is... very, very funny, underrated. Sometimes these British comedies don't translate to the United States, but I thought this was funny. Have you ever seen Hot Fuzz?
I have not. It's one I haven't seen.
I loved it. I thought it was hilarious.
I think you would like it. I think that'd be a good, Thanksgiving weekend movie for you and Rachel.
A little Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, exactly. Keeping in the alphabetical list, Hot Shots would be the next one, which is Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
Very similar to the Naked Gun and Airplane parodies. This one parodies Top Gun.
Mm-hmm.
And it was maybe the dumbest of all those kind of movies, but it's still funny. I don't know.
So isn't there a sequel?
Yeah, Hot Shots Part 2.
Part 2.
It's a Rambo parody. Have you guys seen Hot Shots?
I've seen Hot Shots, but not the Rambo parody.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
I think they're basically both.
There
the
it is.
Thing. So, yeah, Hot Shots for Dude.
That's when he's shooting the chicken.
Yeah.
Just do it.
It's a great, great cover.
Okay, last movie I watched recently, House of Flying Daggers, which I'm not sure you guys have seen this one. But
I have not.
A great movie in the spirit of
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
It's actually the girl, the main girl is the same.
Same.
Girl. Yeah. And
is it a sequel?
No, it's not.
It's just a one-off.
Correct. Okay. And it's great, great movie if you've never seen it. Very artistic.
There are a lot of flying daggers.
There are lots of flying. And coming at people in very creative ways.
Gotcha.
And, you can imagine how they would be flying in the camera.
Are they
effects.
Also hunting people?
Yes, they are. It's 9th century Chinese, historical kind of set in the 9th century of China. And
that's cool.
And they're just battling for turf, basically. And there's a group of people called the Flying Daggers that are basically fighting for good against the evil government.
Now, the real question I have is Jackie Chan in it?
He is not.
Probably
but
not
he would
worth
have made
watching.
It better.
Right.
We should always ask, would Jackie Chan make a movie better?
How does somebody in the general public watch a movie like that without having to just, like, buy it off of Amazon for $1.99?
I think it's probably on Netflix. Like, that's a pretty well-known movie, but I don't have Netflix, believe it or not, and... But
that's too
think,
mainstream for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, way mainstream.
Is it like on Amazon Prime or something?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it's well worth watching. Okay, so last thing I wanted to ask you guys is something that I think as you're getting together with family and friends, I think a good activity to go do is go hang out and do something fun is karaoke. So
absolutely,
great idea.
Here's a question for you guys: is what is your advice on picking a good karaoke song? Because I've been to a lot of karaoke places and, just the spirit has died with a certain song or somebody gets up there and they, but obviously you're singing for the people. Mm-hmm. You're going up there and doing
this. This isn't about you. This is about the public.
I know you've got some talents in karaoke. How do you suggest people pick the right karaoke song?
Well, I think it's all about stage performance. That's a big one. It's about the mood of the room, is as we talked about the room, right? The room. Is you have to understand, like, hey, if it's close to the end of the night, there's a bunch of people, everybody's having a great time, and you go up there and sing, like, a slow ballad, like, you're going to be a mood killer.
Right.
Like, people don't want that. But you have to know where the room's at that moment and kind of how to take it to the next level. So
I think upbeat is always a good way to go. You know, there's sing-alongs.
It's so good if like to feed it's good off if the general sing with. Yeah.
So what
Ben likes to sing duets.
I'm awful by myself. My voice is terrible, so I have to bring the energy.
Well, I think being good at singing is not always good for karaoke because it's almost like people are like, you know what?
You're too good.
Yeah.
Right. We need the general public here singing, not a voice tryout person.
Yeah, you want somebody that's not quite good enough to sing but doesn't mind going up and singing.
And trying.
Trying. And
we want you to miss a couple notes. Yeah. It makes it more authentic.
It's almost like, you know, misery loves company kind of because we all can't sing very well. Right. So we want
to. Which I love. I don't know if you've seen the video of the guy at he's at a karaoke place and he's singing Tequila and he just sits there for like 45 seconds at a time and goes, Tequila. And then waits like 45 seconds and says it again. That would be Ben. He's like the one word guy.
Yes.
So, fireball.
Fire Ben.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming, guys. This was a lot of fun. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. And we appreciate you tuning in. We'll hopefully have another show in a couple weeks. But thank you guys for coming. This was a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll do this again sometime. Have safe travels, you guys. Go Sharks. Go Falcons. And go
Cobras.
There we go.
All right. Have a good Thanksgiving, everybody.